Good morning, Patriots. Just so I say it, we get up front here real quick. This morning, there's not going to be a storm dispatch program after this. And the reason for that is I have an interview I'm taking with Joe Flynn, and the only time block he has is right after that. So you'll have to endure, which probably means probably to pour yourself a double cup of coffee. Because then if you have a double cup of coffee, there's no question what you're going to be able to handle today. Make sure it's double strong black. That's the big thing. That's a big, big thing. So we don't want any of that foo-foo coffee going around here. There's such a good... America needs more manliness, more boldness, more grit by Phil Robertson. And that dude, he's hilarious. That's all I can say. What can I say? He never misses a point of pointing out the most obvious, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today. Because what he's talking about is the idea that everything that we are dealing with right now falls back to the relationship we have, so much of the relationship we have, which is the relationship and the role of men and their role in this country and their role to God. So I'm going to start with a comment that I saw last night on the boards, and it's kind of funny. So last night, I don't know if it was Bard's FM or it was Fishers of Men. One of the two. I got on, presented a fairly intense position on a lot of things and strong position on what it's going to take to get through this. So I think it was Bard's FM. Because to get through this is going to require an enormous amount of commitment and an enormous amount of focus that roots us down into our relationship with God. And I always snicker when I can give that presentation and give it like this. You must, in a simple sense, you must be true to God and you must walk and be strong. Or I can say it like this, something like this, where I say, you must be true to God, and when we get through, we're going to throat stomp the heck out of evil and leave its body on the ground, take its sword, cut its head off, and let the birds and the beast feed on its on what's remaining of the corpse. Which is pretty much how I feel. So the two statements are the same. One is framed in terms of David, and the other is framed in terms of just more like a comment like Psalm 1:1-6. But the intensity, men need intensity in this day and age. Men need to hear this hoorah stuff. Because if men don't hear hoorah and they don't hear this intensity, then they feel that it's weak. And what I would ask is, if God needs to be the hoorah speaker in order to be heard, or if God's word is enough. The problem we have right now is the culture itself we are living in is inverted. And that cannot be denied. When I go to, if you go to Google search, for example, and you just look in the search bar, everything that they want you to find is always about women's own business. It's about some racial owned business, something like this. The white male, the principal male of the United States, doesn't matter what color, they like to say white, but all men in this country are disempowered at this point in time by every bit of advertising around. And women, no offense, but the world that they're pushing is pushing every single woman as the lead in the workforce. And so I ask you what you think that's going to happen with childbearing, because what they're trying to force is the man at home, the man to be subservient to the woman. And that is not God's structure in where he put this world. It may not be comfortable to hear, but it's the truth. God created a structure on this world. And it does not matter whether the man is at home or whether the man is working. At the end of the day, in God's structure, the man is accountable for the household. So if the woman is leading on everything, the man is still accountable in the household. That's God's structure. For those out here that are feminists, God didn't make feminists. In fact, if you understand what God was asking, he was very clear that he wanted men to love their wives very clearly, very powerfully. There was never anything about a subjugation. It was about understanding how people were designed and what roles they were to carry. Each one is very strong in their own right. But the world that we're working in is to try to push every woman into combat, every woman into the roles of leading the business, of being a business owner, of being the CEO, the corporate leader. How are you going to raise children when you take those roles? It's not going to happen. And especially when you start to dance around celebrating, as women are doing right now, that they now can carry on combat roles. I don't know what type of lunacy that is. Because what, your egos are so deflated? See, this is the problem, and here I go. I'm going to step on some feelings, and yep, this is one of those mornings, so here we go. I always like to give you a warning before I trigger people. Just being kind and fair. But the bottom line is, of the two, women are much more emotional based. At least should be. Men are much more reason based. At least should be. And that's the way our two worlds are built. Women are much more communal. Men are much more hunter-gatherer and individual. So it's so easy in the end. I'm going to say this from a guy that works information warfare. Women are the easiest to manipulate. Women, you are the easiest to manipulate. Let me say that again. You are the easiest to manipulate. And the reason is all we have to do is to fan the flames of emotion in the right areas, to hit the right emotional triggers. And I will tell you, we can get women doing pretty much anything we want in this culture and inflame their egos and to charge them forward, because it's all emotional based. Men should be more difficult to manipulate because they should be more established within a foundation of reason. And somewhere along this path in life, and I don't know whether it's what's in the water, what's in the air, if men are drinking too much soy, or if they've just been broken. And 2008 is a critical date, and I'll come back to that in a second. But the fact is that men are not leading. I know the men that lead quietly in wars across this world. And there's a culture of some, what I would call, very manly men. And in these circles, most people can't handle it. So I go back to this comment last night when I was in my more normal state and someone wrote on the board, oh, at last, Bards has finally got up here. Obviously, this person has never listen to me and probably has no idea. And I laugh at this, but I like to bring up these examples of how people react, because I wasn't advocating violence. In fact, God doesn't want men in the place of violence. God is asking men to walk as Christ walked, which is the most powerful warrior we've ever known. And this, again, is this distortion that's happened within our world. unless there is violence, unless there is a wielding of a physical sword, unless there is some discussion about the number of rounds that you have stuck in your gun cabinet or the number of guns you've got buried in the closet that you have to take out every week to dust them off. Unless it's got some connection to violence or being tough or chest thumping or driving around in something cool looking, whatever that is, being seen in certain ways, men have lost their way. And women, I'm just going to say it, you're not helping. You're not helping at all. Men need a firm kick in the butt because they need to start standing up. And instead of just having to fill the void because the man in the relationship is not doing their job, it's a point of women, you've got to get the man being man again. And men, you got to start acting like men. This is not a place of having to talk about the latest cool story of going to the bar, drinking a few, and then bashing somebody's head in. But it's like if we don't have these stories, men feel like they are neutered. And some of that is a loss of purpose in society, and it's done intentionally. And what does that lead to? Too many men have ended up in some form of a corporate welfare program as a job, or they live in a cubicle, or they do some nonsense thing. They have lost the connection with their gifts and talents, and in so doing are just going through life in process just to earn money, and money has no substance or meaning in the end of the day. I watched a guy the other day. I know who he is. It's funny. Of course, I'm not going to tell you, but that's all right. But it's funny to watch this, and I'll give this a great example of what I'm talking about. This particular person works in a particular job that, while I'm sure it's provided well for his family, and it's very much a presence in this particular family where he needs to be in charge of all things, and that's cool. I mean, he's taking that role, but here's the funny one. It's every Friday when things really kick up. It's every Friday when the chest comes out. It's every Friday when the stride across the street to get the mail, it gets strong. It's every Friday when it's the way to get out of the truck and the way you hold your lunch bag. It's every Friday that the strength comes back. And what happens every Friday? It's every Friday they get to have casual Friday so he can put on his trail boots, and he can put on his jeans, and he can put on his shirt, and woohoo, he's a man. Just like that. Change the costume, and he's a man. I tell you. I was on a call a couple weeks ago, and rather intense call with a group of people I'm doing some work with. And there were a number of different personalities on the call and a number of different genders, men or women. Let me be clear. There was some men and some women. Man, I can't use that word gender because now it's going to sound like the alphabet soup that we are supposed to accept. That's another problem. You know, you can't be a man. And, oh, by the way, just so I'm real clear here, if you think you're going to get a snip or a tuck or a sew-on, an addition, whatever you're going to get here, like a remodeling job down there, and you think you're going to add a few hormones and become a man, I got news for you. You're not going to do it. You can believe you are, but it ain't going to happen. So, anyway, just listening to this call, because it was not my time in the call, and there was just a lot of discussion going on, and myself and a couple other people, I would definitely define us as men. But I enjoyed listening to this particular person come in very level, very to the point, no ego, chest thumping, nothing, just laid out succinctly with these words at the end. This is the plan, and we're going to take this country back. End. And it was like, wow, finally, you know, here's some more men standing up. And it was interesting to listen to the reaction of the women on the call, because they understood exactly what he said, and he didn't have to run around chest thumping. Now, I've said this many times. I respect the women in this country that have stood up and led this fight. The immense respect I extend is beyond words. It does not take away my criticism of men who have done little to nothing in this fight, in leading the fight against tyranny. And it doesn't change my position that men need to get a doggone spine again. There has to be this balance, this swing, because it's not working. And this is the part that I find interesting. You have on one extreme, you have the Antifa soy boy that feels that random acts of violence against people, abusing them, beating them with a stick, throwing crap in their face, trying to blind them, whatever they can do is somehow satisfying, as long as they have some other women with them so they can all do a gang attack on somebody. But Antifa soy boys can't stand on their own anyway. You have another side of leftist male symbology, which is the pimp or the drug leader or the thug, where acts, again, random acts of violence, trafficking children, trafficking women, abusing children has become the symbol of strength. And on the left, the only image of strength of reason is a liberal or transgendered human being, woman or transgendered human being, typically gay or lesbian or snipped, tucked, remodeled, whatever you want to call it. And that becomes their iconic leadership of reason. And they're usually very intense and focused, very intolerant of any points of view. They argue very intensely. The men on that side, the tend to be very emotional with little exception, and the women tend to be very level and reasoned as long as they have their people obeying to them, and if they don't, then they threaten them, Maxine Waters sort of style. That's kind of a summation of the left in a nutshell. On the right, we have a whole bunch of very great, hardworking men that can't seem to understand the importance of speaking out, of speaking truth. And I'm not saying they don't do it amongst themselves, but in a public space, because that's not a place they want to step into the light. And yet, if you talk to them about taking the country back, the first thing they want to do is pick up a gun and go shoot somebody. This extreme swing of the pendulum on the right is ridiculous. And I've witnessed it for too long. And I'm critical of it, and I have been critical of it for a long time. It's the cult worship of the gun rather than the worship of the role that God gave men in which to walk. I'll give you two examples of amazing people in the world. And the one that I do hear is that, well, some people aren't good with words. I don't care. Learn. Because if you're in a public, unless you want to be a mute the rest of your life, learn how to speak and learn how to engage. And here's the other thing. When I hear things like, well, men aren't good at speaking, some people aren't good at articulating, I got news for you. The left has figured it out on how to speak the words to change this public. The left is using First Amendment and the vehicles of that to change this nation, while the men on the right are somehow waiting for this great revolutionary civil war, whatever they're thinking is going to come. And I keep saying, you don't want that. But it sure sounds good because it's a Hollywood action film. And Hollywood action films are great to dream. Where in this entire walk is that role, is that place of Christ? And why is it that Christ is always viewed or not translated to being, let me put it this way. Why is it that men can't translate Christ as being strong as a warrior? And I go back to what I said last night. All I changed last night was a tone in the focus and the intensity of Hocus in the conversation. I didn't vary from my position that the greatest tool that we have in this war, the greatest tool we have in this war, is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But that word in our culture is weak. That word is not weak. This is the problem that we have. In the fundamentals of how we approach life, the strength in taking care of our neighbor, the strength in looking after one another, the strength in helping those who are in need, the strength, and this is the big one, of giving voice to those that have none, those are positions of a warrior, a humble warrior. The true strength of being a warrior is to be humble and yet to be so strong in the moment. Martial arts is such a great discipline for this very reason, because martial arts is never about fighting. That's not what you're going to see on Kung Fu movies. That's not what you're going to see on Jackie Chan movies and all this other nonsense. The true essence of martial arts, not the ego-driven studios that teach it, but in the true sense of how martial arts has always been, is to be trained to a degree that you are the most ferocious and most deadly warrior you could ever imagine. And to be so disciplined that you understand that the only time you ever use that is in a sense of life and death. But that with that strength that you gain in the spirit of who you walk, that your presence alone speaks to your strength in this world. That is strength. That is a backbone. That is a place to be able to stand up to people and say, no, right is right, wrong is wrong. In the older world of the West, when kids popped off, adults stepped in, men stepped in to correct. When somebody did something to a woman, a man would step up and just put an end to it. There were consequences for actions. There were strong people in the world, men that led this country. They didn't have to speak publicly. They took action in a peaceful but very direct and firm way. Oh, and there's still fights. There's all this other stuff. I'm not romanticizing this as if it was all a nirvana in the past, because there's never been one. But in this time, the lack of strength in actively working in our public by men is ridiculous. Men's egos now have overtaken their foundation of reason and leadership. Being a peaceful warrior is not weak. And I just shake my head sometimes and just wondering what in the heck has happened. Psalm, and I mentioned it earlier, Psalm 1, 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. in the world that we live, everything is inverted. And they're fanning those flames constantly. And some of this goes back to 2008, because if you look at the economic attack that the United States was subjected to in 2008 and the manipulation of the market, so it's actually 2007, 2008, they went right after the middle class, white, male, land, property, ownership, and job. You can map that out. And in so doing, they neutered a lot of the economic base of men. And in removing that, many men didn't ever catch their feet again. They lost their purpose. This is our key problem here. Because the relationship to the job, the identity with the job, became the purpose on which we live. That has never been the case and should never have been the case. It should have been our relationship to God and our gifts and talents are the strength of the men. And if you watch what happens from 2008, starting in 2008, and you watch what happens then in the coming 4 years, what happens? The Luciferian left now grabs and seizes control of the leadership of the country, and the first thing they do is they drive home on every single informational plane the role of the woman, the role of the gay, the role of the lesbian, the role of the transgender, and they destroy, in public view, the role of the men. And sadly, with the emotional blow and the disorientation, my interpretation here, but I'm firm on this, with the emotional blow and disorientation that came to the majority of the men out here that lost their way, that were left without a purpose because their job was now removed, industries were shutting down, so many men turned to things that were not godly. They didn't get stronger in the church. They got pulled away to things like, well, here it comes, porn. Some got pulled away to drinking. Some got pulled away to drugs. And the purpose of their purpose was shattered. And to me, that's almost one could argue, and I'm not going to argue it, but it's an interesting perspective if you put that into a biblical context and ask yourself, was that a punishment for worshiping the wrong idol? It's interesting how life works that way, because whether or not that's of God's hand, nonetheless, whenever we worship a false idol, we will ultimately suffer a consequence. And the false idol that men have been focusing on for way too long has been the worship of the job. This has all been by design. Of course, we had add there that the way the church preaches and teaches is so weak to begin with. And within all of that, we have a corrupted church that's teaching this sort of apathetic pew sitting, that we are not in some capability or some way supposed to be engaged in the public and flipping tables. We are not supposed to be speaking out. We're supposed to be complying and becoming super Gumby. It's like, all men, is how do you be a man? Well, I want you to turn yourself into a big ball of Play-Doh. That isn't the way God ever intended. But our most powerful walk in the world is to model after Christ. And as I've said many times, Christ didn't have to be a violent warrior. He wasn't. He understood the line when he had to flip tables. But consider the strength to walk into the Pharisees and to do what he did. And somehow in our narrative, and I know why this narrative comes out, so I'm going to say it. Somehow in our narrative, his walk towards sacrifice is seen as weak. Who pushes that narrative? Because it's not God. That narrative comes right out of the playbook of the Luciferian left, who hates Christ and loves violence as a tool of control and likes to promote the fact that this man was broken and was drugged and he was abused and so he was weak. And in every single narrative, they twist this subtly to make it seem as though Christ was weak in that walk. Oh, no doubt that was a horrible, horrifically painful walk, but there is no question the strength that it took within that walk to accomplish what he did and to make the choice from the night that he was taken to have his men put down the sword even after the servant that came in or the soldier had its ear clipped off. To put that down, that he would make the choice to walk a different path. That's strength. That's strength. Gandhi is portrayed, the left loves to portray Gandhi as like their cultural hero, and they do that again as part of their games because somehow Gandhi is like the great example of what they should all aspire to. Subtext as to the left, as long as you're not like Gandhi, and as long as you continue to beat up women, as long as you continue to abuse elderly, as long as you continue to throw concrete milkshakes in people's face and gangbang attack all of them, that's the left. Worthless, spineless, weak. The strength of Gandhi is that he stood up to a nation controlled by our friends, the UK, that the dirtbags that try to affect our same elections, the dirtbags that we were tied with from the beginning. And in building the strength of people to stand, oh, there was violence. It wasn't a walk in the park. In building the strength to stand, he collapsed the control of the British Empire in India. I'm just going to say this. That movement wasn't Christian. And I say that because within the very basis of who we are, we have that model as God's son. So if the left is modeling after Gandhi and reveres him for what he did, ask you a simple question. Why does the left not revere Christ? Because Christ did it times 10 or 100 or 1,000. But the reason is obviously that the left despises God, fears God, and so they won't ever use Christ as a model. They'll use everything but. And again, the left fans the flames of being, that somehow being peaceful and extending an appreciation for one another is weak. And this is the biggest lie of them all. When we are working through God and walking in a place, understanding our lines, this is the critical piece. Temperance, tolerance, righteousness, grace. Walk gracefully and humbly in this world as not just as a child of God, but as a strength of God, as a warrior of God. Extend grace and temperance to one another. Love thy neighbor as you would love thyself. Critical. It's not about how your neighbor wants to be loved or respected. I'm kind of like this. I'm like, yeah, whatever. God has guided me to treat my neighbor with respect and love. That also means that if something happens to my neighbor, whether or not I agree with them, I will step in to help them because that's my role, especially as a man. God says to help those in need. It isn't to walk by because you're cool and look at somebody and go, oh, what a dirtbag, he has no money, but I'm making a lot of money. I got news for you. That's what they call of not standing in the way of sinners nor sitting with the seat of scoffers. Instead, it's being that humble warrior to extend a hand of grace to help that person in as you would help someone in need. It's being strong in your family as a man to be able to say, you know what, mom and dad are getting old. We're going to take care of them and bring them into the household, even if the wife disagrees. The right way is to lead. The role of the man isn't to abuse the wife because you're having a bad day at work, or abuse your kids because you're having a bad day at work, or put your misery into a damn bottle or a bottle of pills. You want to talk about getting a pair? Get a pair, men, and start acting like men and quit giving yourself into weaknesses because your damn ego got run over by a truck. Who cares? God didn't give you an ego. He gave you love and strength through him. Being strong is not to turn your back as a man on the abuses that we witness, because that's where we talk about giving voice to the innocent. We're not asking men to go out and lead rallies at abortion clinics, though it would probably be effective if they did. But to deal with that, if you're going to limit your control to your family and not want to be in the public square, then be clear. It isn't to be violent. It is to set a firm line of wisdom and strength, of and a line that you do not walk. I am blessed, and I will say this. I am blessed within my family of having a lineage into the older way of the West and Montana in particular. I am blessed with having true open-range cowboys in my past, because there is a very solidness with this culture that I grew up with, of being firm in the world, of not having to be chest thumping, of not having to be outlandish with my ego to prove my way or to try to get attention onto me. I am blessed with the examples as I grew up and the path that I choose to walk of being very firm in the lines that we will cross and not cross. It takes a discipline on many levels. The thing that I say to men is, if you feel disempowered, what is it you feel disempowered with? You're afraid you're going to get in a fight and get beat up? Then go start studying boxing, martial arts, whatever. Learn it. Learn the skills. Learn the techniques so you can gain the confidence within yourself. You feel weak because you don't have a degree? Then go get a degree. Do what you need to do if that is what is going to help you stand up. But at the end of the day, get your feet under you and start acting like men in this culture. To pull from Phil Robertson in his video the other day that I just mentioned about needing men in our culture, his great comment, he says, I give somebody a black cup of coffee these days as a man, and he's going to go, ugh, ugh. Do you have some sugar? No, we don't have sugar. Drink it black, get a strong spine, and stand the hell up. So it is about time that men start to take the line. And you can do it quietly. You don't have to be out here doing gay parades, and you don't have to be out here whatever. You know, I'm going to say this, and I will give men a lot of credit here. I'm proud of watching when we did those boat rallies for Trump. Man, I loved seeing that. Okay. And look, there is a connection of role and purpose to it, and I get it. Men were able to get their boats out there and get out there and be the captain of the ship. Good. If that's what we need to do, do it. If it makes men feel better right now to get in your 4x4 and drive into a rally and encircle your local county commissioner's house because they're being a bunch of dirt bags or your sheriff or whatever, then do it. But quit being afraid, and we're not having to lead with violence. But get your groove. And leave the idea that violence and being a man are somehow one and the same. They aren't. That is that trap that the left places before you. Men have got to reclaim their position. The left waged a holy war on most of the strength of men beginning in 2007 that was designed. It was the setup for where we are today. To break the will of the majority of the middle-class men. To leave the door open to bring in the leadership of women. And yes, women, you got played big time. And oh, by the way, if you're gay, you got played big time. If you're a lesbian, you got played big time. Because the only thing that the Luciferians ever wanted in that movement was to get their pedophiles buried in the LGBTQ alphabet so they could ascend to power while they manipulate the emotions of the gay community and destroyed it, by the way. The gay community was on its own. I'm not making any judgment either way. They had a closed economic system. They were all doing fine. They were within their own communities. And guess what else? They were all buying from one another, creating closed economic systems that were very successful. But they offered them something. Be mainstream, be part of us all. And they took it. And guess what? Those gay communities are now decimated. They're not like they used to be. They played everybody. Everybody that had identity, they played. Women got played. They were like, hey, guess what? Oh, we're going to offer you all this leadership. Oh, wonderful. And they get into leadership positions. And now guess what? Well, I don't know how I'm going to have a family. You don't need to have a family. You can adopt a kid. We can incubate a kid in an incubator for you, whatever. Destroy the family. Destroy the leadership. And why are women so easy to play? Because all you have to do is fan that flame of power. Just tease it out there. Put it out there as the opportunity that you're going to get to have power and lead the family with your economic greatness. Go get a degree. Go do this. Be the leader in your family. Why? Because, well, we already know your man's been broken. We already know that your life is upside down because whatever. Man. It was the most masterful psyop ever pulled off, in my opinion. And it was done right in everybody's face, all for the excuse of an economic collapse that was engineered by the people who run the master controls on Wall Street. The whole bottom line, women, don't worry about having kids now. Put it off till later, knowing doggone well that you're not going to do it. Very few will. And then you get up with this thing of like, oh, man, I'm getting to be 38. I'm going on 40. I'm getting into the... It's going to be where I can't have children anymore. I have to make this very difficult decision. Okay, I'll guess we'll do this. I'll have one, and then I can just take a few weeks off from work, and then my husband will start taking care of it. Or we'll just, here it comes, the best one of it all. Or we'll get some sort of early prenatal daycare. Boom, you're into the system. Your child's being indoctrinated right in the beginning. You freaking took the bait. Man, women, you did it. And men, you weren't there to back them up. Oh, and then let's add all the mandatory injections and the number of women that were like, oh, yeah, I've got to protect my child. And then what is it now? 15, 20 injections by the time they turn two or more. Now your child is being completely, his entire immune system is being flipped upside down. And then you wonder why your child starts to get genetically and confused on its gender. By the time it's five, who's driving? Seriously, who is driving the engine of getting this fear porn about this mask and this vax thing? Guess what, women? Who's saying very little but following the lead of the women? Guess what, men? Who's accountable in God's eyes for the family? Men? By the way, this is not a sexist conversation. I'm sure some people are like, dude, this guy's crazy. He's like one of those radical Christian fanaticists. He wants women back in masks or wearing a burqa. I don't want any of that. My simple thing is, as a man, if you can't treat your wife with respect and have loving in your household and listen to the counsel that your wife provides, you're an idiot to begin with. But it does not mean that men don't have the responsibility of the household, and it doesn't mean that men get to sit on the side and let the wife earn the whole income and not have a firm hand in how the household's run. I don't have a judgment on how the inversion works within the household, meaning if the man is, if it's best for the family, for the man to take care of the kids because of the economic structure, fine. But at the end of the day, that balance of power, the man is accountable for the household. End of story. And when men don't have that strength within the structure of the household, everything begins to fall out of balance. Again, who's been pushing this agenda of getting kids vaccinated and kids masked and having families walk around in masks? I will assure you it is coming predominantly from the women. Why? Because a woman, here it comes again, you're going to have to take this one. This is a tough red pill. You are easily manipulated because of your emotions. We are intended, as we work together in families, to have two. We balance each other beautifully and perfectly in a dance that God gave us to walk beautifully into this world. Each one having their amazing strengths, each one having their amazing gifts. No one can nurture a child like the mother. Man, what a beautiful statement. What a beautiful statement. No one can nurture the child like the mother. That is what we are supposed to be here for, is to have, to build the family, to build children, God's children, to bring them into the world, to expand his kingdom. How is that going to happen when the women are out here in the middle making all the money for the family? The men are the ones giving up that role, their role of leading the family. How is that supposed to continue? Because it doesn't. It ends up failing. This is where we are. And when we give the strength of men to walk in that powerful place of peace, of strength, the warrior that is grounded in Christ, it leads the family. We are sitting in a place right now where we need men. We need men to be men, not to be Bubba, not to be driving around in your 4x4 with a stick in the back window. Oh yeah, I grew up with that, because that translated to tough, redneck, but that was high school, of course, no problem. This is a world where we don't want to touch these topics because we're afraid we're going to get trigger somebody, or we're going to step on people's toes. I'm stepping on everybody's toes right now. I hope you know that. And if you don't like it, the door is over to your left or to your right, whatever preference you have. You want to go get a snip and tuck? This is probably not the right place to be. But what I know is I was blessed, truly blessed, and I say this, with a family that worked as God intended. I am blessed with two parents that are a shining example of what happens when God lives in a home. That relationship of theirs was never perfect, but it was enduring. And the priority in their entire lives was always about where it needed to be. Oh, my mom worked. My dad had his own business. But here's the deal. Had we not had a mother that was nurturing and gave herself first and foremost to her two sons, we would not be where we are today. And I had a dad. He worked hard, and he led the family, and he never failed. And even when he got blasted at one point in his business, he always found a way to stand back up. He taught that most amazing piece of how to endure and never stop being the man in the family. My life didn't work as beautifully. My relationship in marriage is a train wreck. I don't blame them. Okay? That's my walk and my accountability to God, and I've made those atonements. But as I've had the example given, as I have lived the walk of imperfection, it is also the eyes to see on where we are. And so I speak not from a pedestal of knowing that I somehow trying to tell you that I'm perfect. I speak from a pedestal of knowing how I was given the example and how I walked in perfection. And it's for that reason that today I sit here and I can say, this is where we're going wrong. You can't understand the failure until you walk the failure and live it yourself. It is time for men to stand. It is time for us to reclaim the position in the household as God intended. Women, it is time for you to support the man, to help them stand, because it's together in a marriage that the two work successfully as God intended. And why in the end is all this important? Because it's not about a man and a woman. It's about what God intended us all to be part of, which is to nurture our children to be great in this world in His name. That is God's gift to us. And it's why He brings us together to extend His family in the glory of His offspring, which He gifts to us to protect and to nurture in this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, humbled this morning as we sit before You with the knowledge of the greatest gift that You've given us and aware of the struggles that we walk in trying to embrace that gift, the gift of nurturing children through the strength of the family in the order of as You gave, with the man and woman in the relationship as You intended. In this very difficult time in which we live in a world of inversion, in which so much around us has been manipulated to destroy the family, our prayers begin with the strength of the family to give prayers to the many that are in need of that prayer to strengthen them, to the many whose marriages are broken, to the many who are raising children as one parent, and to the many children that are missing the gift of having a marriage strong in Your name and strong between themselves. Lord, we pray for all marriages this morning to find that strength in You, to find that strength to give the purpose back to each in that relationship, to put the egos aside, but instead to be able to walk with You, to have men lead the household by the law of the Lord, to have women put the focus on nurturing the children, and together to build a prosperous family in Your name. This is our way back in resetting the nation. This is the strength that we need to reclaim in the foundation of this nation, to rebuild our families, to be honest with one another, to face the difficulties and the challenges, to be truthful in our role as parents, as man and wife, and to walk with You in our hearts, with Christ glowing within our homes, to put God first, to put You first, Lord, to put Christ first in our homes, at our dinner table, at the foundation and the roots of our homes. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Love and respect at the end of the day. That's why we walk. But we have to get to a place where we're truthful too. We have to get to a place where we can face the difficulties of where we are, the challenges of being in this world as the Luciferian order has put us, and the strength to be honest to that and now make the strength to stand up against this tyranny. the tyranny that has been waged on our families, the war that has been waged on our children. It's time for us to truly be the strength of God, to stand up with Him and to walk boldly into this world as the children of God, and to reset this world in His name. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. The family has to be restored, and through prayer is where we begin that process to listen to God's guidance, but it's together. It's not one or the other. It's together. It's not an easy path. But it's what we have to do. God will never forsake us. He never leaves us. He is there for the families. He is there for all of us in our hearts to help us navigate this path. Biggest thing is egos have got to be put aside. Being dutiful to the framework which God gave us and being disrespectful, men, to your wife, being abusive to your wife, men, is weakness. Pure weakness. And it's weakness at the core of who you are. And women, equally. Using your emotions to manipulate, using your emotions to lead in a world that uses emotions to control. Own it. Be honest with yourself about your limitations. It's not about you. It's not about your own egos. It's ultimately about a relationship with God. In the end, God wins, always. But these victories aren't going to happen without us starting from a place of reaching to God with honesty in our hearts. So have a blessed day. Remember, there's no program after this today. I'll see you this evening at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll have one of the interviews up tonight, whether it's Juan or whether it's Jim Pugh, but one of them will be up tonight. Depends on how far I get in the edits today. So until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. Generation.